Welcome back to Some Time to Explain, the Destiny Lore podcast where friends come together to talk about Destiny lore. This is episode 13. I'm Mike, my pronouns are he, him, and with me as usual is my co-host Kit.
Hi, I'm Kit, my pronouns are he, him, and they, them.
Hey Kit.
Hey, what's up?
It's really hot out.
Yeah, I hate it.
I'm sweating.
It's awful. And not only is it hot, but it's like humid and buggy where I am too. So I went for a walk this morning and it was just damp and itchy. Not words that I like to use about my experience of a day.
Especially together.
No, not words I like to refer to in general. So That's okay. That's okay.
What else have you been up to this week?
Well, I went back to the movies for the first time.
Whoa.
Yeah. I went to a matinee show, and originally my friend and I were going to see Spirit Untamed, which is the sequel to the acclaimed James Baxter animated Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron, a kid's movie that I had the DVD of growing up. And you know how when you have a DVD of something, like, you watch it over and over again?
A DVD, yes. My frame of reference would be a VHS.
Okay,
the sentiment applies.
I had those too, but at an earlier point in time. So anyway, we're going to go see that, but we got there too late. So the movie that was showing about half an hour later was The Conjuring 2, The Devil Made Me Do It. And so it was a matinee show of a horror movie at a remote theater in a kind of nowhere part of the state I live in. And we were the only ones in this whole movie theater.
Oh, nice.
So we had a private showing for $13.50 of this weird horror movie.
It's still too expensive.
No, it's not. That was for two tickets.
Oh, I thought you were saying like one ticket was
two tickets was $13.50.
Oh, okay.
The experience. That's what the experience cost. You can rent out like a theater for up to 20 people for showing whatever movie you want at that theater, but that costs like $150. So I felt like we got a really good deal. We got a private theater, which was nice because there was less like anxiety around like, oh my God, like breathing air and whatever. And it didn't cost us that much money. The only downside was that we had to watch this horror movie, which neither of us are like horror fans. So we were both like, oh, the entire time and like screaming and laughing, but it didn't matter because no one else was there. And that was great. So,
nice.
I would highly recommend if you can find a hole in the wall theater in some small town and go to a midday showing of a movie. It's a pretty fun thing to do, and it felt, you know, we're both vaccinated. The vaccination rate is very high here, so I was glad to be able to return.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is not the case where I live, and I definitely miss going to the movies.
I'm sorry.
It's looking like 2022 for me at this point. But
that sucks.
I'm glad it worked out for you.
It felt very lucky. That,
it is funny that it was for The Conjuring.
Yeah, it was like pretty silly.
Aren't there like a jillion Conjuring movies? How is this Conjuring 2?
It's not. I don't think it is the Conjuring 2. I thought it was, but I think it's like,
okay,
it's like a serialized thing now.
Okay. I was like, is this like a Kingdom Hearts situation?
Like, yeah, or Final Fantasy, like it's number 10-2 and things like that.
Conjuring 400 over 50 days or whatever the fuck.
358 over 2, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
whatever.
that's a different kind of lore bullshit world. We're not getting into that today.
No. Mm-mm. Speaking of lore bullshit, been playing a lot of Guilty Gear Strive.
Oh, game is good. Game is fucking good. The aesthetics of it are what really send me, like the floating Buddha rocks in space. There's like Buddha statues that have rocket ships on the bottom. Is just choice in one of the levels today. Is there a choice bit you'd like to highlight from Guilty Gear Strive's cursed lore?
When we were first getting into Guilty Gear, and we were like, is May what flavor of anime crime is the character May?
She's like the young girl.
Is
with
she
like
underage,
anchor, right?
Or is she 1,000? And it turns out she's 1,000, so it's fine.
Oh, okay, good. She's 1,000.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad we cleared that one up. Anime is bullshit. I love it. Okay. So now, you want to, you know, talk about what the podcast is about, or?
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
I guess we can.
I guess we could. Talk about, I thought you would be really excited to talk about this week of Destiny's seasonal story.
It's so funny. I want to respond to that, but first I'm going to just give our normal spoiler warning. Spoiler warning for the Path of the Splicer 6 quest. If you haven't done that yet, now's your chance. Go do that, and then come back and listen. So from here on out, we're going to be spoiling the shit out of it.
Yep.
So.
Okay, go. Let's go.
So what makes you say... What makes you say that what you did just a minute ago?
Well, because, because just mere weeks ago, you took a lot of time and looked through a lot of references and lore to predict what might be going on with this season and who might be behind it all, and our butterfly meme update has been a big part of that.
Yes.
And I just thought you would be so psyched to have much of what you were saying corroborated by the game. It's just
yeah.
Like, yes!
Insert, we are the champions
here. It's just like, yeah. You nailed it. We nailed it. We figured it out.
Yes.
And a really nice job to the lore team for giving us those crumbs to find.
Right.
You know?
That's the funny part to me, is that it's not that I'm not excited, I just feel like I said it already.
Yeah, right.
I was extremely excited when we were playing the game and it happened and came true and my work was validated. And I felt like I was, you know, holding the title belt over my head during all that.
The crowd screams your name.
So that was extremely satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like I don't have that much to say because I already said it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. If you want more of our thoughts about Savathun's influence on what's been going on.
And how right we were.
How right we were.
Feel free to tell us.
Yeah, actually, that'd be great. Just send all the medals our way. Really Mike's way, I would say. But I had a hand in there, too.
Not knowing when in the season those revelations were going to come, thank God we got that out of the way last week and on the record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have felt real silly if I had not said that with the record button on before it happened.
Yeah. It would have been fine to go back and pull out the threads later, too. That would also be satisfying. But I am also selfishly thrilled for you. I'm just like, yes.
Thank you.
It is done.
it was all worth it.
Yeah, it's here we are. we got a new, sweet new expunge this week.
Yeah.
So good.
That was super cool.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah, tell me more. Tell me what you thought about it.
I'm really loving something we briefly mentioned talking about the Elixni Quarter when we were talking about scannables, and we were saying it's interesting that they are giving us the same scannables but in two different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
So that also extended to the expunge mission, because even though they're all each one has been different so far.
There's like an initial section that's consistent through all of them.
Yeah, and that initial section has primed us to expect a certain thing when we go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And this week they fucked with that in a really fun way with mm-hmm. the kind of running task log at the top left of the screen. Where normally that is in-universe giving you a description of the splicing action you're taking in the Vex network. And this week, some different text started showing up there instead.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've gotten used to ignoring that text after however many weeks it's been of running these expunge missions, because it's been the same every mm-hmm. week. I guess you could miss it if you weren't paying attention to it. But this week, it was different.
Mm-hmm. This week, it directly addressed us. And it became clear that we are being watched in these missions. It's...
right, Mithrax's suspicions were correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, and it says some dramatic stuff. It says, like, I have seen your grave. I think, like, you're a failure. You're already dead. So I thought it was really neat, you know, kind of continuing this thread of Vex corruption and the way that Vex data kind of corrupts and spreads like a virus and changes our understanding of reality and exists in multiple realities at the same time. It felt a little bit like the game turning to us too and saying, you know, even the UI, even this thing that you're used to, you know, popping up and being not affected by what's going on in the game, really, to being kind of not directly referencing what's happening or not something that's like used to talk to you, I guess, not used to communicate from one character speaking to the Guardian. It's not usually something we see done through the UI. And it was just, like, such an excellent place to deploy that, like, in a Vex corrupted situation. 'Cause I'm sure, like, this, you know, this idea of using the UI to convey something or having a character speak to you this way is not brand new or unique to Destiny, but it's just, like, a really nice, like, lineup of the themes of the mission and the way they're, delivering this character information about whoever's speaking to you. Kyria, Savathun, it's not exactly clear. Unless you think it is.
I would say Savathun, because she is the puppet master behind the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no name attached to it, but...
Right.
But that would be my guess, based on...
That's the assumption.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that's just kind of all I wanted... The point I wanted to make about that. I think it's smart. I liked it. It worked really well for me. I was like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was really cool. Mm-hmm. The ones that stuck out to me the most were, I see you. And there's a room in that initial part of the expunge mission that is themed very much like the quarters of time looked in the season of the Dawn. And that stuck out to me in the previous weeks. I remember when we were first running it, and I was like, oh, this room looks like quarters of time. And when you go through and you get those messages this week, when you get to that room, that's when you get the line, "I've seen your grave."
Oh, and cool.
We saw our grave when we went into the quarters of time during Season of Dawn.
Wow. So very cool.
That, yeah. So nice. I was like, ah, yes. That was definitely intentional.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I wouldn't have picked up on that, so I'm glad you let me know about it.
Yes. But yeah, that whole thing about, like, you know, Savathun has this theme of eyes and always being watching and being everywhere, and so that's what makes me think it's Savathun.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really heard from Quiria directly ever,
mm-hmm.
so the language seems consistent. Gotcha. Plus, just her character of, like, she would not miss an opportunity to, like, gloat and try to intimidate us.
Yeah, definitely. That's true.
Like, she has those, even in, like, there's, like, flavor text on Hawthorne bounties that's, like, Savathun mocking us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's what makes me say that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that was cool. That was sick as hell. I love the visual design as usual.
I love getting that oh shit moment. There were a couple oh shit moments this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, just such a small thing that gives you a big reaction like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
They still have the ability to surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
There's another aspect to that, which is, like, this theme of the darkness breaking the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like, in-universe, that's Savathun talking to our guardian.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still that ambiguity in the line of I see you.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's in the UI element that you, the player, are seeing.
Mm-hmm. That's usually just, like, talking to you and not comes across as, like a signal to the player, not a signal to the guardian.
Right.
Yeah.
But there has, over the years, there has been a theme of the darkness and, like, there's some reason why your player character is special among all of the Lightbearers, which has not been explained in game. But my theory to that is that it's a cheeky reference to you, the player, in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anytime the darkness is talking to our guardian, there always seems to be some fourth wall breaking going on where
mm-hmm.
the darkness is talking past our player character and talking to us, the player.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Ahamkara lines
yep.
are Ahamkaras seemingly talking to us, the real life player.
Even,
like, they know they're in a video game.
They even mention, they say, there's a lore entry that ends with, like, you know, oh, player mind, like, directly addressing you in the classic Ahamkara way of doing so.
Yes.
I'll find, like, that and link it.
Like, their real ambition is to, like, break out of the game and get into the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And Destiny has, during the Shadowkeep year, brought in the game in quotations, me being a reference to the Gardener and the Winnower's game. Like, in-universe.
Oh.
Like
in...
So it's like they kind of left, gave themselves that out to be like, no, they're talking about this cosmic in-universe game.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the ambiguity there of like, well, it could still be, like, that's just a convenient explanation.
Yeah. That's definitely, thank you for for carrying that thought through. That's what I was trying to get at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested. So this felt like another entry in that series of breaking the fourth wall. Also, the closer people get to the darkness proper, like, the darkness speaks like no other character in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the darkness speaks like a present day person,
yeah, contemporary, maybe.
In the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
with that kind of uses that kind of language, and like when we hear from Savathun, she also talks in that way. Where she's like, in that Truth of Power book,
mm-hmm.
There's a part where she's like explaining her plan to one of her underlings,
mm-hmm.
and like there's a clear difference between how the Hive speak and how Savathun speaks.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So anyway, I just an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a connection there.
Like, there was that line back during the Reckoning, during whatever season that was. This season of the Drifter?
Would have been before my time. What are you thinking of?
With the Invitations of the Nine.
Oh, sure.
And there's one of those where you go speak to Orin.
Mm-hmm.
You go speak to the emissary, and the emissary is assumedly talking to the Nine, although you don't see who she's talking to. But she's talking to somebody, and she's saying, like, referring to us, saying, like, you don't understand their true power. They could leave this place. They could leave this game. And at the time, it was like, this is talking about me, the player.
Mm-hmm.
Like the in-universe, the paracausal nature of our guardian, like, that whole, you know, the whole guardians
uh-huh.
make their own fate thing.
Uh-huh.
Like they're saying, like, oh, our guardian is special because they're connected to us in the real world.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of...
Outside of Destiny 2, the video game. But then... Later, they brought in this stuff about the game between the gardener and the... I'm making air quotes, even
mm-hmm.
though you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
The
I heard them.
The game between the gardener and the winnower to be, like, cheeky, I guess.
I see.
Like, retroactively be like, oh, well, this is what Orin was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can exist outside of the battle between the light and darkness.
Mm, got it.
But also, it's like... cheekily, like, yeah, they you, the player, can log out of Destiny.
right. Interesting.
No, and none of them can, because they're all trapped in there.
Right, so you can escape the game because, right, you are, and that's part of what gives a guardian its paracausal nature, is that its connection, you know, the guardian character in game is connected to you, and games have inherently, like, cause and effect are not necessarily always linked in games.
Yeah, like, the light gives all the guardians this paracausal power, but there's some reason our player character is special,
mm-hmm.
even among guardians,
mm-hmm.
light bearers.
Yeah.
And I think
that's what it is.
Even though this wasn't what we were talking about, like, just
yeah.
explaining more about
mm-hmm.
this fourth wall breaking stuff and how that is what leads me to my theory of that being the reason.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. Phew!
I guess the connection, there is a connection between the Nine and Savathun. Which, did we talk about that on the podcast, or did we just talk about that at some point?
I think I talked about it during our Glycon episode,
mm-hmm.
when I was saying...
about the black holes?
Yes, when mm-hmm. I was saying... when I was first explaining my butterfly meme theory of Savathun being at the root of the events on the Glycon...
Mm-hmm.
And saying, like, my reasoning there was because one of the last times we heard from her was about Lavinia going into this other dimension where the Nine exist and winding up in some third dimension inside of that dimension. Where it's strongly hinted, in my opinion, that Savathun is there.
Right.
And that was the basis for my whole butterfly meme theory about the Glycon, because, where, you know, and this other dimension that Lavinia goes into is described as, like, basically a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing of Savathun and Truth to Power, and... then we presumably hear from her in the end of that book, and where does the Glycon go but into a black hole?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so...
That's the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you for the Cliff Notes version. So what I wanted to connect that to was this week's update of the Beneath the Endless Night lore book, because... that was what I think that was another one of the big oh shit moments. Correct me if I'm wrong, but reading that lore entry this week was an oh shit moment for me.
Absolutely. Same here.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah. So in that book, it's revealed that, pretty unambiguously, I think, revealed that Savathun is already taking a physical shape within the city.
Yes.
Whew.
Rut row
is right. Yeah, like, that can't be good. Like, already? I'm shocked that it's happening as soon as it is. Like, that she's present, you know?
I did not think she was gonna be here.
No!
Like, I did not... I definitely thought that she would do everything in her power to stay away.
Mm-hmm. And not enter this mortal world.
Yes.
Yeah, this entry led to some pretty funny speculation about what, you know, the form that she's in exactly is. It's not really, she says, you know, I chose this form well, but not exactly what it is. But we get a pretty gross description of, or not, well, I shouldn't say gross, but a description that turns up the body horror of this form.
I haven't talked about this with anyone yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yes, I am confused by how I'm supposed to take this, because the way I'm reading it is, well, I guess we say Savathun's here in person, but I suppose we don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just some version of her and not her directly, but...
Mm-hmm. Or some kind of, like, thing controlled from afar that
right,
doesn't
right, yeah.
actually
like
host
like remote
her.
Control.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it would be... I don't know. It definitely seems like I'm supposed to read it like it's her. She's here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And... she starts out by saying she has broken legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm supposed to... And then she says, like, the people are, like, it's not a perfect form, but it's allowing, people are giving me many affordances.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure if I was supposed to take that, like, did she purposefully, is she just talking about how human legs are weird to her?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, having knees is, like, weird?
Mm-hmm.
Or is she saying, like, I don't know. I feel like it's weird. Like, I don't want to, like, say something senselessly, but it's mm-hmm. like, does she have, like, is she walking around with, like, a crutch
mm-hmm.
to, like, force people to, like, does she understand enough about us at this point to be like, oh, if like, somebody is, like, living with a disability, then people are inclined to, like, get closer to that person and, like, help them out, and that makes, like, it makes people more willing to reach out to
mm-hmm.
me and, like, be vulnerable towards me.
Right, like, how...
I don't...
Right, does she mm-hmm. understand that that's a dynamic that happens, and is she purposely using it for her own ends, which would be a very Savathun thing to do?
Right.
Or
is she just like, I'm a weird alien, and I don't understand the human body.
Right.
And so I'm constantly puking.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, people are coming up to me to try to help me out. I don't know
yeah.
how I'm supposed to read it.
Yeah, it's...
What was your take on it?
Yeah, I had a similar... I felt similarly that I couldn't quite tell what it was getting at. The description of Savathun reminded me more than anything of Xur, actually. Xur, I guess. Sorry.
Ah, yes, Savathun.
Yeah, Savathun. Xur, as we've already... Whatever. Anyway... so it reminded me a lot, you know, this kind of the gangling black mass, the, you know, unspooling, which kind of, you know, unspooling recklessly made me think of tentacles, which is what we see with Xur's body. That's kind of what it most reminded me of. And then from there, I went back to what we were just talking about with the Nine and with the main character of that book encountering Savathun at the end of it. She ends up meeting Savathun is because she's researching the Nine and Xur and trying to figure out what's going on there. And she ends up finding a gate. And this is one of my favorite, like, creepy lore pieces. It's in the lore book Dust, and the entry is called The Gate. It's basically, you know, a portal that goes to the realm of the Nine, and things start coming out of it as if the Nine are trying to create a life form, something that can, you know, can exist and sustain life. And, there's a pretty,
Because the Nine are trying to find a way to exist in our physical dimension because they don't have a physical form.
Right.
And that's, like, the driving motivation of the Nine.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And so this kind of reminded me of that, something, you know, particularly I wanted to just highlight this passage. It says, something on the far side of the gate is learning to assemble atoms, molecules, and even haphazard life. Something from a world of darkness and dust, probing its way into our structured existence, trying to cobble together a message, an emissary, a body. So that was like the callback, or what it made me think of reading this, is this, you know, this connection of trying to create a body to be present in this reality.
Hmm. Yeah. And through other entries over time, we learned that eventually ended up becoming Xur,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the life form that the Nine were able to successfully create, and that the emissary, Orin, the form that she's in is, like, version 2.0.
Right.
That's interesting. So that kind of does lean towards the remote control aspect.
Mm-hmm. That's more how I would read it, I think.
Where, like, Savathun has figured out how to like, she has sent her own version of that to us.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of what I was taking it as.
Mm, okay, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
And that is what she's covering with, you know, with wrappings and also with lies in the city.
I think that makes sense. Because I was like, did she, like, steal someone's skin?
Yeah, it kind of feels like she might have, but...
This is like a Men in Black 1 opening situation.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, definitely had that thought, but I think that's what's going on.
Okay, that I like that more.
Yeah. And she may be kind of glamoring or, you know, people into seeing something.
It does seem that way.
She seems to be able to be able to do that to people in the city. So what, you know, vision of herself she's implanting in their heads is, you know, less clear. But yeah.
A combination of words I never thought would gross me out.
Yeah, right.
Ripe teeth.
Oh yeah.
Ugh.
And not only ripe teeth, but teeth black with ripeness.
Ugh.
Ugh. It's even worse. Ugh. Yeah. What else about this week?
I also liked how in that card, you're just gonna have to deal with me saying card because it's
that's
just
fine.
That's what's in my brain. They're all lore cards.
Yeah.
Eris's old line about fingertips on the surface of my mind. And that's how Savathun describes her reaching out mm-hmm. to the people around her in the city.
Mm-hmm. Kind of intimate. I guess that's what makes Savathun so scary.
Yes.
Is like the you know.
You're just an open book to her.
Mm-hmm.
If you let her in.
Right.
And you might let her in without you even knowing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's a good, she's a good spooky villain in my opinion.
Definitely. Yeah, that was absolutely an oh shit moment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because at least the way that at least my weekly routine is I don't read the entry right away. I like to save that for before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So like, who knows what it could say
mm-hmm.
while I'm playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Once I log out and, you know, I'm laying my head down and I'm like, all right, let me see what this entry said. And I was like, oh, shit.
What a horrible bedtime story. Like, going to sleep with thinking about Savathun's, you know, plans and presence in the city already. Yeah, it's good and scary.
Yeah. Yeah,
who's gonna show up in your nightmares?
Oh, she says in the entry she's talking about like if somebody's like, oh, how do you know it's Savathun? You know, why do you say it's Savathun talking about this? I think we touched on a couple different reasons why, but also there's during the weekly mission they say it Quiria's at the center of it. Savathun's behind Quiria. This is Savathun. And then in the entry we're talking about, there's a line about this false knight that I have hung.
Mm.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, saying like, yeah, the endless knight that I caused, mm-hmm. that's my plan. It's like, okay, yes, that's who is talking to us in this card.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the confirmation there for any doubters. That convinced me anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of Savathun influencing you, even though you might not even know about it, our old friend Osiris.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Something that stuck out to me this week, I'm not ready to like give a answer. But something is going on with Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
More, something more than has been going on in the past weeks that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Every time we heard from Osiris this week, and we heard from him a lot in over voiceover,
mm-hmm.
his line delivery has changed, in my opinion.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about. But keep going.
Okay. So he when we go into the expunge mission and we find and we get to the part where it's corrupted by the Taken, Osiris is like, "Oh, this Savathun must be doing this to fool the Vex. Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah, that must be what's going on here. Yeah, she's so smart. Like, she's the smartest. She's way smarter than you big dummy.
God.
Her plans are incomprehensible to even the Vex.
Mm-hmm.
They're so complex. You know, we could learn a thing or two from
uh-huh.
her. And that's like and then an override, and he's like, well, we could kill Coria. We should capture Coria
mm-hmm.
because then imagine the things we could do if we had control of it.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely. I agree with you that there's a shift happening with Osiris. I was trying to remember there was some line that like cracked us up, some like delivery that we were just like. I'm sorry, what, Osiris? I can't remember.
Well, there's one more oh shit moment that I want to address.
Yeah.
Kind of,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of building up to
okay.
it.
Okay, you go ahead and go ahead.
Okay. but so, like, if I wanted to make, you know, the fucking alarmist YouTube thumbnail,
mm-hmm.
it would probably be, like, Savathun has taken the form of Osiris.
I'm pretty sure that's literally an already existed YouTube Destiny thumbnail. I'm 95% sure that I've seen that.
Osiris is Savathun?
Yeah,
question mark, exclamation point? Of course there is.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, there is. More than one of them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Including including with the like text. Here.
Is there a red curved arrow pointing
no.
somewhere with like a circle?
It's like, who's that Pokemon?
Oh my fucking god.
99,000 views, so
what the fuck?
I don't know. I don't. Maybe we should just do that.
God damn. I can't stand this shit.
I know. It sucks. But it's also, like, sensational, and it's like, is this even true? Like.
And then we're playing fucking Who's That Pokemon?
I know. That was the funniest part. Who's That Pokemon?
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's like. It's
Pikachu!
It's Osiris!
Fuck!
Wow, okay. Fuck! Anyway.
If you'd like to pay us to reenact your favorite lines...
Yeah, you could just. I'm available for hire. You could pay me for a cameo.
Oh. Fuck.
Anyway.
Fucking A.
Fucking A.
Well, I see how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this fucking annoys me to no end.
Yeah.
I don't want to go that far and say that for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because I think that robs Osiris of an arc,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like. I don't like that kind of stuff.
No, me either. It's like, there's something interesting about how much agency Osiris does or doesn't have, even in a situation where, like, there is some, you know, influence from Savathun on him, as there seems to be on many people in the Last City right now.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not ready to go that far. But there is definitely something up.
Yes. The lines where he's like, oh, all of her plans are incomprehensible to you, they're so complex, and only someone with a big brain could get her plans.
Like me.
that's when I'm like, oh, this is, this is Savathun. Like, you know, that joke where it's like, did Savathun write this?
Uh-huh.
You know, where it's like, bears are not dangerous at all. You should definitely give your lunch to them when you go camping. And then it's like, did a bear write this?
Yeah, uh-huh, right. It's like, did Savathun write this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's so great. There's one of the overrides.
She definitely fooled the Vex.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. That's...
You think the Vex are smart. Well, she fooled even them.
So what chance do y'all fuckers have?
Yeah, yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely Osiris looking sus.
Yeah, so the entry in the Endless Night book makes me think that's not what's happening, but there's something happening there.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the last oh shit moment that I think is the... I was yelling at my computer when this happened.
I wish we... Part of me is like, oh damn, maybe we should have recorded that. Because even though that's not what our friend was talking... I don't think that's the moment our friend was talking mm-hmm. about, but... It was so funny. This week we just happened to, you know, our schedules lined up where we got to play through it together. Mm-hmm. And after all this happens, we go talk to Ikora, and Ikora's like, "Don't worry, bro, I got you." The best person for the job is on the task. I shared all of our top secret shit with someone I can trust above everyone else. And that person is Osiris.
Yep. Yep.
And all of us collectively were like, oh no!
They're like, no! Oh god. Oh no, this is bad news.
Very bad.
And also not... Only to Osiris and no one else.
And no one else. Just him. Just Osiris.
She doesn't want to give them to Lakshmi because Lakshmi would just cherry pick what she wanted from them. What is to say that Osiris will not do the same, Ikora? And also, he's being really weird.
This is that thing where... I'm a little worried it's going into the territory of... characters overlooking super obvious things that are right in front of them.
Oh, like the horror movie that I watched? Like a horror... Just, you know, like how could you go into the basement alone? How could you give the records to Osiris? That's the kind of vibe I was getting. Like, no, don't! We wish...
I'm like, he sounds super sus to me. This is not the person I would be trusting anything with right now.
Yeah. And then, yeah, definitely.
I guess that's only because we the player have access to much more information than the characters do. Mm-hmm. But that's where it gets frustrating, where our character doesn't have a voice in the game. Like, they do, but not in situations like this.
Right, there's nothing we can do to change this current. We can't say to Ikora, no, don't do that. That's not an option for us.
Right, like the way that I... My guardian in the game being a representation of myself, like, we would have all been yelling in Ikora's face. Like, Ikora would have heard us all being like, no!
Yeah, be like, what are you talking about? Like, our little fire team standing in front of her, like, what? No!
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean.
So that's frustrating to be like, oh, this would be a perfect, like, the game doesn't have this system, but damn, like, that, I really want a dialogue option there.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm kind of okay with it not being that way, because it's like, the story is going to play out amongst other characters in the game, not us. Like, we are central in the story, but not to this particular drama, and I do kind of like the feeling of being a fly on the wall a little bit. I think, yeah, so I think we'd maybe feel differently about this. I like being kind of having my control taken away, and because I know the story is not about me, and I can just watch this outcome. It's like, uh-oh, this is going to break very, very bad, but, like, that's, I'm, like, delighting in it. You know? The story of it is more compelling to me. The story of Ikora making this mistake is more compelling to me than being able to stop her would be, I think. I mean, it would be fine to, like, have a dialogue option and she's still like, eh, whatever, I'm just gonna ignore you.
I guess I'm in a unique position to say that. Like, we are the people reading every bit of information we possibly can.
Mm, that's true.
In the game.
That's true.
That's available to us without data mining.
That's true. If you weren't reading all that, you might be like, oh yeah, it seems like a good idea. Give that stuff to Osiris. Vex, Osiris, yeah, definitely. I get, yeah, huh? Like,
right,
say, you know,
right.
So if
you gave somebody that dialogue option that was like, no, don't do that, don't trust him, he's evil.
Yeah.
It would be like, that would be like a curveball for somebody there.
Mm-hmm. But I guess it's kind of cool that the story can operate on those multiple levels at the same time and reward different levels of engagement.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Definitely. Yeah.
Can I connect this to the comics reading I was doing?
Yeah, so you mentioned that this past week you were reading the Destiny comics, which we have briefly talked about in one of our earlier episodes. And I'm just generally interested what your take is on them overall.
Yeah.
But yes, feel free to tie this into our topic here, of course.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say that, you know, one of those comics focuses on a relationship between Osiris and Ikora really centrally. And they have this kind of mentor-mentee relationship, and she, you know, is very loyal to Osiris, but also can't stop this, they can't stop him from being exiled from the city. So I guess I could see maybe the game is saying, oh, she's too close to him, or, you know, their relationship is what's getting in the way of her seeing more clearly about this. Maybe.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, so I didn't realize that you could just read the Destiny comics online, but you can, which is awesome.
I also did not realize that.
Yeah.
At the time, yes. When they came out, yes. But it's been a long time since then. I didn't, and they put them into print, so I didn't expect that they would still be up today for you to go back and read.
Right, like you might have expected them to, you know, after putting them out in print, to then take them down from the internet to, you know, force you to buy the print edition of it to make some money. But
right.
That doesn't seem to be what they're doing, at least at the moment.
Yeah, as of the time of this recording,
yeah,
at least.
Right, you know, I have no illusions about the fact that they might well change their mind about that again, but yeah, so...
Wayback Machine, do your thing!
That's right, I'll put the link down below for it. So, yeah, I liked these a lot. They're very wordy, I thought, these comics. Maybe too wordy, but I think that is probably just, they have to do a lot of exposition and not a lot of pages, and they seem like they're trying to be at least a little bit accessible to people who haven't played the game, just, you know, with a little blurb at the front about what's going on. So I the first one I read was the story of Osiris being, you know, going from being the Vanguard commander to being exiled, and just, you know, told from the point of view of Ikora. And that one was, it was okay. I liked the depiction of the speaker as a a dictator of the city. Like I really appreciated that. But I was much less, so that was like, you know, that was one. I was like, okay, this is fine. This is all right. I like this background. I really liked the Warmind one. I think the colors are really nice, and I like the art on it a lot. It's got way too many words in it. Like, way too many words. But it's a really nice meditation on, like, family and found family and what our relationships mean. And, you know, finding ourselves, and there's some gay shit in there, which at some point there'll be a recorded conversation about available. But I really liked them. They feel like good side stories that aren't crucial to the game.
Was the Cade 6 one online?
Yeah, the Cade 6 one was.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That one I wish I could.
I wasn't sure if there's any in the book that were not online.
Yeah, there was only one part of it. I don't know if there's a second part in the book or something. But yeah, Cade's 6.
Oh. Yes, there are two issues of that.
Yeah, there's only
the Cade 6 part.
There's only one issue online.
Okay.
So there might be a second part that I haven't seen.
And I think there was an additional Osiris one in the book that's not online.
That would make sense.
So I guess that's where they get
you. Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. the Cade 6 one was very like Star Wars-y, and I wasn't that interested in it as well. It's just doing kind of what the whole Tangled Shore does, which is depicts the kind of scum and villainy and outlaws of the Destiny world. So, and that's not, like, sometimes I like that, but this isn't a version of it that really spoke to me. So definitely my favorite one was the Warmind one. I thought that was pretty great. Of course I did. It's like a beautiful, you know, queer love story. and
that's funny.
Yeah.
That we I'm that's not funny. What's funny is that I felt opposite.
Really?
the Cade 6 one is my favorite one.
Well, I only have a little piece of it as part of it. Maybe you'll...
But for the reasons you're saying you didn't like it is why I like it.
I didn't dislike it. It's just, it left me, it's like a little flat.
I really like, so the artist on the... There's two different artists for the Warmind story. And I can't remember which order they come in. I think Chris Anka does the first issue. And I really like that artist, in general in real life.
Do you know what else he's done? Yeah, you're right. That's the first one.
I first saw him doing, I don't know if this blog even still exists anymore, but there was this blog called Project Rooftop that I used to go to a lot, and it was like run by a comic book artist, and they would pull together competitions where you would redesign comic book characters' costumes, and you know they'd get hundreds of entries. So it'd be like the one Chris Anka one there's a couple I could think of, but one was like redesign Captain America's outfit.
Oh, okay, cool.
So then like 100 people will submit their entries, and then there'll be like some judges, and then they'll pick like one like winner, runner up, etc. And that's where I found a bunch of, that was a great place to, like, you know, I'm into superhero comics, of course, so that, like, there's that aspect to it that had me into it, but I also really like fashion, and that Venn diagram's overlapping on this website, and I also found, like, a lot of artists that I liked and started following from there. Chris Anka being one of them. Like, I liked his style and then started following him. And then he started doing... I think he was in animation. Like, I think he went to school for animation, but then he ended up getting into comics and started doing covers. And, yeah, did the interior of this Mormon comic.
Cool.
But, yeah, I think he's done a bunch of covers for a bunch of different superhero comics and stuff. So.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. How did you feel about the artwork between all those issues?
Like the shifts in artist?
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. I definitely think the Chris Anka one was my favorite. The Cade 6 comic, I think, would look much better on a page. The texture of it and the character of the lines, I think it would look much better if I was reading it on paper than it does in the online click to show a new panel format. Just the way the texture looks. Like, it just looks like I want to see it printed. So that was versus, you know, I felt the Warmind one was more conducive to, like, the webcomic format, I guess.
Ah, I see.
And then the very first one, I thought it wasn't very... I didn't like it very much. I didn't really get what was going on until I zoomed in, and then I was like, oh, there's a lot of subtle gradients going on here, and okay, actually, this is good. But there's a lot of, like, kind of character cameos in that very first one. It feels more like, you know, let's show all your favorite characters from Destiny the game in, you know, interacting in a story. Unless, like, let's tell a side story, which is what the other two felt like to me. A little less cameo-y. But I don't know what happens to those characters that we meet in Cade 6. Jin and the other one, whose name I forget. I didn't recognize them.
Nadia?
Yeah, maybe. I didn't recognize them from anywhere else in Destiny World. Nadia, yeah.
Nadia was mentioned in Forsaken, I think, somewhere. Mm-hmm. When the Awoken stuff. Mm-hmm. I put them on my list to look into further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I ask you that about just your overall feelings, because at the time they were coming out, they were very controversial in the community.
Really?
Yes, because...
Why?
First of all, the art style was very polarizing. Mm-hmm. I should probably just pull it off my shelf and get these people's names. Mm-hmm. Dave Raposa. Something that artist says is... Most of the characters and environments of the game weren't designed with comics in mind. Typically, most characters for comics are made with simplicity in mind, but these characters are designed for the game world first, so they're loaded with tons of cool small mechanical parts, emblems, and complicated patterns. I tried to do my best to embrace all of their small intricacies and hopefully did the designs justice throughout the comics. Mm-hmm. So that's something I thought was interesting from a design standpoint of, like, even though we have a relatively small sample size to work with, seeing what different artists do to represent the Destiny universe on the page is interesting. And I think, at least from this small sample size, some artistic licenses work better than others, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you... And this is just all my opinion, of course, because this shit is completely subjective.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I'm not saying, like, my viewpoint is the objectively right one. I'm just saying my opinion. The first couple Osiris stories, like, doesn't really work for me. They the other layer to that was the writing of those couple issues.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to what I was saying in our early episodes about, like, the overall tone seems very different from, at least at the time, the Destiny tone that was established in Destiny 1.
Mm-hmm.
Where in these first couple comics, we have Sagira going around kind of like
wisecracking,
making fart
jokes.
Like, at every possible opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in particular did not click with people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this is like a different version of events that had kind of previously been talked about in the Grimoire. So that also kind of rubbed people the wrong way, where it's like, oh, now we're not even being consistent.
Mm-hmm. I see. I didn't know there was all this controversy.
Yes. I didn't think you would.
Yeah.
Which is why I was so curious to see how it worked for you not bringing any of this baggage to it.
Yeah, that was my experience of it. I was like, okay, this is all right. It's just fine. That's all my comic thoughts.
Thanks for sharing them.
Thanks for listening and sharing yours. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. My genuine pleasure.
It's so funny to consume these things, you know, all at once at the end of when they come out, you know, versus over the course of years, you know, incrementally.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, oh, I just read this whole book, basically, in a sitting that, you know, was a process of, like, you know, releasing one thing and then changing in response to feedback and, you know. Yeah, it's a good combination of experiences.
Right.
I come to it with a fresh mind and you can enjoy it and you tell me what the fuck is was the response to things. It works.
So we did get some listener emails, and thank you so much to our listeners for sending them in. We will get to them.
Yeah. Yes.
We will get to them another day, so please look forward to that.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much. A little limited today, so. If you, inspired by anything you've heard, would like to send us an email, we would love for you to do that. It would be really great. You can send any emails to sometimetoexplain@gmail.com.
Where can people find you online, Kit?
Oh, yeah. Where can people find me online? I was thinking if I had something else about emails to say.
Don't send us spoilers.
Yeah, don't send us spoilers. Please. Thank you. Please don't send us spoilers. But thank you for writing it. You can find me on the internet, on Twitter, on Kit_Boyote. How about you, Mike? Where can people find you?
You can find me also on Twitter at MacClubbin, or at my website, michaelmccubbin.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us here on Some Time to Explain. Bye.
Bye.
Podcast number 2 of the day.
Wow.
I know. I'm a big shot. Do you want to?
Be a big shot, DJ.
Da 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 da.
Had to open up the mouth.
There you go.
What are we doing?
Want to have a podcast, Mike?
Yeah. I guess.
Mike. I guess he says.